Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
He's intense. He's got a little bit of a red ass in him. No, he did. He did. He sat there down the stairs. You know, he had his notes. Like a little boxer head down, he was locked in. It's pretty intense. I like it. I love it. He fits right in.
That's Astros manager Joe Espada talking about Yusei Kikuchi and his performance this past Friday against the Tampa Bay Rays, where he had 11 strikeouts and 5 2/3, striking out 8 along the way, which tied the Astros franchise record and matched the season high for any major league pitcher this year. He was the first in major league history to tally 8 consecutive strikeouts in a team debut. The term red ass is a baseball term. There's even an article from 2019 written by Mark Carrig in The Athletic that talks about red ass. John Kruk, who you might know as a broadcaster more than as a player, but played for the Phillies, Padres, other teams. While he was with the Padres in 1988, they gave him a trophy. The trophy is a horse's ass. It's red. The rest of the trophy is gold. He won the Red Ass Award for the San Diego Padres in 1988. Generally, red ass is a description of sudden rage, which goes hand in hand with a central tenet of a grueling baseball season, constant frustration. Too often, the sting of failure lingers. Once it reaches a boiling point, a dugout toilet might pay the price, or a Gatorade cooler, or a light fixture illuminating the tunnel to the clubhouse, or a room service cart at the team hotel. It's a flexible term, red ass, that can also describe a player or a coach with a habit of snapping, a defining character trait. I did not ever think that, not once, about Yusei Kikuchi during his time in Seattle. There's a reason I said deferential. No, not because there's a stereotype against Asians in the United States of America as being deferential. No, I thought he was scared to pitch it against good hitters. Joe Espada saying he's got a bit of red ass in him was surprising to hear, Joe.
Just a little bit, though. You know, he's not, you know, he's just like, he's like a 3% red ass, maybe. You know, he doesn't go full.
Well, if you're a 3% red ass, I mean, that's practically zero red ass.
So maybe he's like 20%? Like, just like a little bit in there for him? Because you're right, he doesn't come off as a guy that's going to give up a 3-run home run and then, as this definition described, go in and start swinging a baseball bat at a Gatorade cooler. Like, he doesn't really come off those vibes. Maybe Joe Espada doesn't know what it means, Paul.
I think he knows what it means. It's a very commonly used baseball term, but it's surprising to think of Yusei Kikuchi as somebody who's throwing with an edge.
Yeah, I don't see that. Like, I don't see that, but you know what? Hey, you know what? Maybe Joe Espada does. Maybe the Astros told him one of the things they're going to fix about Yusei Kikuchi was you need to be a red ass to be more successful. Not just throwing more changeups, but, like, you know, you got to be a little more red assy.
I wonder if you can do what he did on Friday again. Friday was incredible, but the Rays also struck out 41 times this weekend, and the Rangers lineup is hitting better of late, I think.
Really, it's like just Corey Seager.
Yeah, maybe I'm just thinking of Corey Seager as the entire Rangers lineup, because Corey Seager has been so awesome for basically, I think he's got like homers in 7 straight games. Something like that.
He's been on it.
Yeah, he's been really good.
I would say it wouldn't shock me if you say threw 7 strikeouts today.
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me if you get. I would be like, just asking for a guy to get double digit strikeouts two games in a row is just, it's asking so much. But if you got another seven today, the way the Rangers have been, their lineup's been going, it wouldn't shock me.
Astros stats and info in their pregame packet that they emailed to members of the media wrote this about him in a little blurb. He ranks fourth in strikeouts per nine in the American League with 10.46. He is seventh total in strikeouts with 141, 11th in strikeout to walk ratio. And this I had never heard of either. Yusei Redass Kikuchi ranks in the 91st percentile in extension. I have no idea what that means, but his extension is 7 feet. What does that mean? His arm is long?
Yeah, like where the ball comes out of his hands. Okay. Maybe. That's so funny. I feel like I know so much about baseball, and then they throw things out like that I have no idea. I just don't understand. His over-under total today for strikeouts is 6.5. So the betting odds are right there.
That's... Take the over.
I think I'm taking the over on
Come
this
on,
plus
baby.
Plus money as well.
We have to take the over to make it seem like the Kikuchi trade was better than it actually was. Because right now it seems better than it actually was.
The vibes, a good start today. Win the silver boot. Take down the Rangers.
They'll be immaculate vibes.
Like very, very good.
The vibes are good for the trade now. No, they'll be immaculate, Joe. If they beat the Rangers today and win their eighth straight silver boot, thanks to Yusei Kikuchi, who they're going to need to use a lot down the stretch. I mean, immaculate vibes. You can't say anything else.
More
Joey
sad,
who?
Is sad Dave Raymond coming. Like, ooh, I'm all for that.
Yeah, me too.
Welcome to the biggest game of your life, Yusei Kikuchi.
I mean, it pretty much is.
Silver boot on the line.
When's he ever pitched a more important game? I don't know the answer to that question.
Not with the Mariners. Yeah. Not with the Blue Jays.
Yep, those are not playoff teams.
Probably World Baseball Classic.
Maybe. I don't know if he pitched in that. You're making assumptions, Sean.
True.
He was an all-star, but he didn't pitch in that all-star game.
Game of his life.
All-star game doesn't mean anything anymore. Thanks, Bud Selig.
Still could be the biggest game of your life.
I guess it could be.
Yeah, I don't know if Kikuchi pitches for Team Japan. You would think that he does, seeing that he made it to the major league level. I don't think there are 25 Japanese-Americans or Japanese players playing in the United States of America. You would think.
Probably a good assumption, I would say. But yeah, I mean, look. A good performance today, it goes a long way. There's still a lot to go to feel like very, very good about this trade. But a follow-up start where we're all on the same page that because of what happened with, you know, Blanco and then Eric getting striking out 12 versus Tampa Bay Rays, it just took some of the hype away from his debut because the Astros pitching, well, I think what we said, that we struck out 41 batters over three
41
games.
Strikeouts of the Rays over the weekend.
Yeah, so like it took the vibes away a little bit from Kikuchi, so a dominant performance today, even though the Rays are struggling right now, and Fromber just went 8 2/3 without giving up a hit. Like, it would still go a long way for back-to-back good starts.
I'm with you there. A text, this one is from the 832. I'm taking the under 6.5 because of the Paul jinx. Is there a Paul jinx?
That was going to be my... Like, is there a Paul jinx? Like, you guys, we're going to do picks every Friday during football season. Mm-hmm. Were you any good?
The last pick I made was... or at least the last pick I remember making. Now, the last pick I made, that I had the Texans covering the spread against the Ravens. They covered the first half. They covered the spread. The last, like, good... take I had was take the over on Nico Collins receiving yards against the Browns in the wild card game.
And that hit
the over.
Sure.
He hit the over in the first like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Kikuchi was not on the last World Baseball Classic.
See, this is the biggest game of Yusei Kikuchi's life, and it could be the greatest day of Yusei Kikuchi's life. An eighth straight silver boot. Where does the silver boot rank in the Mount Rushmore of random trophies that are given out to teams for winning a rivalry game and or series over the course of a regular season? A real niche category. There's some good ones. College football's got some amazing trophies. Is the silver boot up there? We'll discuss next. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Das Silver Boot. We found out yesterday that the Joe George, you asked whether or not this boot was hollow. It looks like it's hollow. It looks like you theoretically could drink out of the silver boot.
I think we're going to see Yusei Kikuchi chugging beers out of it today in celebration.
I'm glad you said beers. I was wondering, we're not going towards any stereotypes here.
No. Plus, like, it's, you know, too much for what would be stereotypical. It'd be too much in that boot.
Yes, that would have been too much. They don't make bottles that size.
No, it's very long.
It's very long, yes.
I will say, in my mind, that drink was in my mind, and I just didn't say it. I caught myself.
Good job.
It was in my brain, though.
Good job.
Ally.
Good job. We are both allies here. Listen, the silver boot, it's a big deal. And the Astros have won it 7 years in a row. You can't lose the ALCS to the Rangers, who go on to win the World Series, and lose the silver boot for the first time in nearly a decade in the same calendar year. It just can't happen. And the Astros-Rangers series this year, it's over today. This is game 13 of 13. The Astros are 6-6 against the Rangers to this point. Bring it home. I don't know if there's a new silver boot every single year or if it just goes back and forth. I'm guessing it just goes back and forth, but I feel like there should be a silver boot every single year. Come on.
You think they should make a new one every year?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's got to go back and forth.
No. You got to have silver boots just like lined up in your trophy case.
Just like in Jim
Crane's
office, there's just like 8 of them or like 7, whatever it is, just like hanging out next to the World Series trophies.
I want that.
I think it would turn into a thing where he's like, I don't know, put them by the restrooms. Like, there's so many of these things that I have no place to put all these.
Oh, yeah. So, for those who don't know, my sister's family, a family of in-laws, there's a very famous broadcaster that's like their grandfather, and there's just Emmys at their house that are essentially doorstops.
Interesting.
There's so many. There's and I'm talking like 20.
Yeah.
They're just all over the place.
Huh.
Yeah, my sister's doing better in life than me.
F1, the F1 driver Lewis Hamilton, he's won like 105 races, and for every single one of them, they give you a trophy for it.
Oh, wow.
And every race? Like,
yes, after every race that he's won. So he has 105 trophies, and then he has all the like championships that he's won, like season-long championships. And so he literally just has like storage units just full of trophies.
That's crazy.
At some point, like, do you just start turning them down? Like, hey guys, like, I'm gonna pass. Like, I
106. I'm good.
Like, I probably was done with like at like 10, but like, give me, or like, you can't just add a plaque to it every time. That's seems overkill.
This is the only trophy in Major League Baseball for a rivalry. This is it. I went on baseball's Major League Baseball rivalry page of Wikipedia. Mm. There is no other trophy shown or listed. So unless I'm unaware of it, this is the only, everything's bigger in Texas, trophy that we see for baseball rivals. And it's crazy because this rivalry, I guess, was a once-a-year rivalry once interleague play started. But it's only been an all-season thing since 2011.
Yeah.
So it's one of the youngest rivalries, if not the youngest divisional rivalries that there are in baseball. And yet it has a trophy. And I got to say, it's great that it has a trophy. These other sports should bring a trophy. Or excuse me, these other rivalries, like Red Sox-Yankees doesn't have a trophy?
I mean, Paul, come on. I don't think this exists in pro sports outside of this.
I think you're right. I don't think it does
like,
either.
Like, there's nothing for like, there's not like an
NFL one.
No. And that, like, they're like Bears-Packers doesn't have one. There's no Texans-Cowboys one. You know,
there's not a basketball.
There's
one.
There's no like Lakers Celtics, trophy. I think it's really just it's a college thing.
It's just college.
Besides the silver boot, but yeah, let's bring it back. Let's make it a thing.
Is the silver boot a better trophy than Paul Bunyan's axe? The answer is no. Paul Bunyan's axe is the coolest thing.
The
ever.
College football. There, I'm looking at like a list of college football trophies. There's a lot of really cool ones.
Paul Bunyan's axe is the size of a man.
Yeah,
it's a giant axe for Wisconsin, Minnesota.
What college football has going for it, too, is that they'll run to the other sideline and take it from the other sideline when the game ends. That, honestly, I think the Astros need to do that. Or, well, they can't because they keep winning it.
Yeah, they can't do that. You can't steal it from yourself.
Yeah, but it should be in the dugout or something. Just so everyone knows the stakes.
Is the silver boot better than the bones? This is UAB against Memphis. It is a metallic rack of ribs.
Ooh.
That is a cool-ass trophy.
I'll have to look at it.
I love it. The Joel Chalele for Notre Dame and USC.
It's not better than that.
No, that's pretty good, too.
I want a Joel Chalele. That's like a pimp stick.
Look at that. And they're on their second one.
Oh, the first one break, or does someone steal it?
It's full.
Oh, so they have to get another one.
Oh, it's like the Stanley Cup where they write the...
Yeah, they put a Trojan helmet or a four-leaf clover with the year of the winner, and they add it to the shillelagh every time.
How about the keg of nails?
It's a keg, so no.
Cincinnati versus Louisville. It's a wooden barrel with nails in it because it signifies the team's tough as nails spirit. Started in 1920 for Louisville and Cincinnati.
Okay. I'm gonna guess the silver boot's cooler than that. I don't know that one.
Yeah, silver boot is definitely cooler than that. Is the silver boot cooler than the golden egg? No, the golden egg game is always drunk. Ole Miss versus Mississippi State, that game's fun.
And there is just something so simple and beautiful about just a trophy with a golden egg on top. Like, it's just so, like, it's the egg bowl. They win an egg.
A lot of these trophies are just buckets. The Bayou Bucket, for example.
Bayou Bucket.
Man, this is the last run for the Bayou Bucket.
What a shame.
Another good one, the Floyd of Rosedale.
Ooh.
Just a giant pig.
Who's the Floyd of Rosedale for?
Iowa, Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, Iowa, Minnesota.
I like the old brass spittoon, just a giant dip spitter.
Oh, who's that?
Michigan State and Indiana.
Yeah, that's cooler than the silver boot.
My best part is, like, the original one was bought for $25. And, like, that's what they... It's just a giant dip spitter.
There's another good dumb one is the Illibuck trophy between... Ohio State and Illinois, and Illinois hasn't won it since 2007.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the college football ones are a little one-sided.
And it's some sort of, like, giant turtle. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah, it's
a turtle.
It looks like it's made of wood, too.
Yeah, it's just a giant turtle.
Is the Silver Boot, the battle between the Astros and Rangers, is that rivalry trophy cooler than the Iron Skillet, also in Texas, TCU against SMU? It's a skillet.
I forgot about that. It's just a skillet. It's not cooler than the...
No.
Apparently, it's because an SMU fan was frying frog legs in a skillet, and a TCU fan offended wagered them that the winner would keep the skillet. It must have been a nice skillet. You've got the Golden Hat. That's Texas versus Oklahoma. I did not know about the Golden Hat.
Really?
I feel like I had never seen it. I feel like every single time that I've watched the Texas-Oklahoma game, I have stopped watching immediately once the game has been done.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever seen the Golden Hat given out.
It's a big hit, especially for the photos afterwards, because you could actually wear the hat. And so, but it's not, like, really big enough. It really just fits on top of your head. You can't really wear it as a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of funny pictures of Charlie Strong and Case McCoy and just random guys.
Random guys.
That look so goofy with this hat on. I will say... That's what it has over the silver boot, though, is that you can wear it.
You can wear it, yeah.
It's a piece of clothing that you can wear.
The $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy. Does Minnesota have a trophy for every game they play?
I feel like
it's Minnesota-Nebraska. That's a new one.
I think they do.
Good for them.
The wagon wheel. Have you seen this one?
I have.
With Akron and Kent State. It's a giant wagon wheel. Love that.
Yeah, the old ones that are, like, big and you have to carry around is great. The Nerd Bowl game. The axe, Stanford against California. So it's a piece of an axe on a plaque because the nerds can't pick up Paul Bunyan's axe.
I like the Paul Bunyan one better.
The Paul Bunyan axe, again, is 7 feet tall. It's Paul Bunyan size because Paul Bunyan was the largest man ever.
Can I tell you my favorite one of all time?
True story, Paul Bunyan. What?
My favorite rivalry trophy of all time is when UConn joined the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make a rivalry.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they created the civil conflict with them and UCF.
Civil conflict.
And UCF denied it and left the trophy behind.
Damn.
Like, also, it was just a trophy. So it made it a lot worse.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, in college football, it needs to be, like, it needs to be a prop. Like, of some kind. Like,
yes,
a prop trophy.
That's why none of the, a lot of these give out a trophy. But it is just like an actual cup or something like that. I feel like we're aligned on, no, it needs to be something. It needs to be a thing. The bigger, the better, too. How about the golden boot? Arkansas LSU with a 4 foot tall boot.
No. Silver.
That's 4 feet tall. And it's not really a boot. It's Arkansas, and it's like the map of Arkansas and LSU that makes a boot.
Okay. Silver boot on the line today, guys. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Some other texts that we have. A person says that he wishes that there was a rivalry trophy in the Mexican Soccer League for America against Chivas. That's the biggest rivalry in Mexico.
I'm sure soccer might have them. They might have them. I mean, not this one, obviously, but I feel like soccer, there would be a place to have a trophy.
Yeah, especially like when like in the Premier League and things like that. And you have the teams that are in the same cities.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of cool stuff like that you could do.
There should be a Mets-Yankees one. Why isn't there a Mets-Yankees one?
I kind of feel like every college football team should have one. Like, I wonder what the Cougs, are they going to replace the Bayou Bucket? Like, are they going to try to create something with, like Texas Tech? Or
Baylor.
Or Baylor or TCU in the new Big 12?
Like, I want the Baylor one. Let's see that happen. Baylor creates one so that the other.
I think Baylor UH, there's something there. Yeah.
How about the Baylor? Paul was sitting in a Chili's and a Baylor fan came up to him when he was talking to somebody else about Alabama and said, "Hey, how about Baylor trophy?"
That's a good one.
And then me and my friends told him to actually, like, we were kind of mean about it. We told him to shut the hell up, like, go F yourself.
And it's a bar stool or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bar stool. It's a Chili's bar stool with, like, Presidente stains on it. All right. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are 29 days away from the start of the NFL season. You want to hear a fun Eric Dickerson recruiting story? You're going to hate Texas after you hear it. Stick around. It's Gallant and George.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
29 days away from the start of the NFL season. The best number 29 in NFL history. For the Los Angeles Rams, it's Eric Dickerson, a 5-time first-team All-Pro, a 4-time NFL rushing yards leader, 9th all-time in career rushing yards with 13,259, 96 touchdowns. He still holds the record for the most yards rushing in his season with 2,105, the most rushing yards by a rookie, 1,808, and the most rushing yards in a playoff game with 248. I don't think those numbers will ever be touched, any of those three records.
Maybe the single season rushing total does when we get to 18 games.
I don't know, man.
But like, I think you have to have the extra two games for it to get there.
I'm trying to think of the last time that we had a 1,500-yard rusher in the NFL. I feel like Derrick Henry's really been the only guy of late that's been close.
It's really like Henry and Adrian Peterson, I feel like, are the only two guys that have gotten even, like, remote. Because I think Adrian Peterson, now this is 10 years ago, but he did get to, like, 2,000, I think.
Yeah, I mean, 2022, Josh Jacobs got to 1,600.
You had three guys over 1,500 in 22, but you had none last year. And in 2021, you had Jonathan Taylor with 1,800. Again, these are 17-game seasons that they're doing this in as well.
I think rushing guards in a game, in a playoff game, is probably the most gettable. Because all you need is, like, one guy to really go off.
A big Jonathan Taylor day.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards in 2020. So, like, my guess is eventually gets broken with the 17 or 18 games when we get there, when they expand to that. But there's going to be an asterisk. Like, you have to, at some point, almost separate these records because there's so many more games.
Yeah. I totally forgot that Derrick Henry had over 2,000. It's rare that you see more than 1,000-yard rushers in a season these days, in a 17-game season. So Eric Dickerson had some numbers. This is Eric Dickerson in the 30-for-30 Pony Express talking about getting recruited by Texas A&M. Texas did not do a good job here.
When it comes to recruiting, coaches can be real nasty with it. University of Texas came to my house. The recruiter tells me, if you consider going out of the state of Texas, he said, when you come out of college, we can make sure you don't get a job in the state of Texas. I thought he was joking. And he said, I'm serious. I told him, F you, man. I said, I'll never go to Texas. I hated Texas from that point on.
Everyone in Sealy wanted to go to A&M.
Sealy was an A&M town, very A&M. So I was given from all angles to go to A&M. The recruiters would show up my house day and night. One night it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Coach comes in my room, you know, asks me, what am I thinking about at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm like, huh? I mean, I couldn't believe it. And I told him, I'm thinking about going to sleep. A&M did offer a lot, a lot. They showed my mother $50,000 in a briefcase.
I saw money from different schools, savings bonds,
women,
two Cadillacs. You know, what we needed, two Cadillacs.
Anything they thought that really caught your attention?
Cattle, livestock?
Yeah, livestock.
About a week and a half before signing day, Ron came, got me out of a meeting and said, take a look at this. And it was a Houston paper that had a huge headline, Eric Dickerson going to A&M.
I get a call from my sports editor. Eric Dickerson has shown up at school today in a gold Trans Am. It was this gleaming gold prize. It was so in your face.
We call it the Trans A&M.
I remember waking up, opening the Sunday paper, and there was a picture of Eric with the Trans Am. When that happened, I said, oh, God, it's over. We lost.
I had a Trans Am, a gold Trans Am, and my grandmother bought it, and that's the story.
I love how he says the grandmother bought it at the end. SMU already got the death penalty. You don't need to defend anything, but actually, he's defending A&M there. They gave him a gold Pontiac Trans Am, and he didn't even go to A&M.
He kept it, and they showed him a 50,
hell yeah, like, dude!
Showed him 50 G's in a bag, like
cattle, A&M, livestock. Dirty.
The livestock That's one as funny. Well. I mean, look, A&M did all they could there, and he still didn't go. Texas saying that we'll make it so you can't get a job in the state of Texas if you leave Texas is one of the most D-bag moves I've ever heard of in recruiting history.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's enforceable.
It's definitely not a threat to a recruit.
Yeah, man. And why? Like, if you leave Texas, so like they could go to A&M, he could go to SMU. But like, hey, like if you leave the state, we're gonna ruin you.
That's crazy.
Or maybe it's just like, hey, you'll be hated in Texas forever if you go to outside Texas.
I mean, that
could be the threat.
Like, what if you went to Oklahoma?
Yeah.
That was probably the implication there. He still stayed in Texas for what it's worth. He went to SMU.
And so he's been able to get jobs.
That's right. Also, number 29, borderline Hall of Famer is Ed Reed Light, Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. But you might know Earl Thomas more so from the time that his wife caught him in an orgy with his brother and held him at gunpoint. Afterwards, Earl Thomas said, things like this happen. Pray for us.
I forgot about it.
Earl Thomas did go to Texas, and I believe that he also has been able to find employment in the state of Texas.
Yes.
Since he went to Texas. I don't know if they threatened him, though, saying he wouldn't get a job in Texas if he didn't go to Texas.
So those are the kind of people you recruit to UT, huh, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, things like this happen.
They do
things
happen.
Like that do happen.
I love that response.
Pray for us.
Like, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Best Texan to ever wear 29 was Glover Quinn. They let him walk after 2012. That was a mistake. He had 19 picks and a Pro Bowl appearance after leaving the Texans in the next five years he played in the league. And you've also got Kenny Houston for the Houston Oilers, who wore number 29, a Lufkin man, a ninth-round pick of the Oilers out of Prairie View A&M, two-time first-team All-Pro, 10-time second-team All-Pro, 12-time Pro Bowler, 49 career interceptions, and his last name was Houston, for God's sake. Legend. Here's the latest on what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. It seems like the Steelers are the front runners. They are talking to San Francisco about a deal for him. Mike Tomlin was asked about trading for a receiver if the Steelers have any interest in receivers at a press conference yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I'll let you guys speculate on that.
He had a twinkle in his eye and a smirk. So they're definitely going after Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, and then today, Andrew Filippone, the Pony from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh.
My guy.
He says the deal's done. He says the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers, and they're just working out a contract right now with Ayuk.
Okay.
So I guess Brandon Ayuk wants to go from Brock Purdy to catching passes from Russell Wilson?
Or Justin Fields. I believe Dan Graziano reported that there's a feeling that Fields might end up being the starter at the beginning of the year. We shall see. As far as Brandon Ayuk goes, Christian McCaffrey of the San Francisco 49ers slipped up a little bit when asked about Brandon Ayuk's status in an interview with Steve Wyche of the NFL Network.
Situation with Brandon, just as a teammate with his, not knowing whether he's going to be here or not, the ramped up, you know, conversation and reports about a possible trade. How do you guys deal with that in-house?
No, for me, I don't deal with it. You know, that's not part of my job. It's not part of my position. I think obviously as a former teammate, or, you know, teammate of his in general, any teammate that you have, you love, you respect them, you want the best for them. As far as the business side of this game goes, it's always difficult. And so I stay out of it completely. You know, that's way above my pay grade. And I just try to focus on what I can do every single day. But obviously we always wish the best for any of our teammates, whether they're here or not. Obviously we hope he's here. Just, you know, it's a tough part of the business.
You should have focused on not calling him his ex-teammate.
Yeah, that's a slip up, but whoops, they know.
Per the San Francisco Chronicle's Mike Silver, Ayuk's hold in is bothering Kyle Shanahan because it seems like he's brooding. Shanahan, though, has not ruled out a long-term deal for Ayuk with San Francisco. Meanwhile, the Browns, I guess, are still nosing around at a potential trade themselves. Kevin Stefanski asked about a trade, wouldn't comment on reports about that, or Amari Cooper trade rumors. As far as the 49ers are concerned, their first-round pick, Joe mentioned this yesterday, Ricky Pearsall, has a shoulder injury. Justin Simmons, safety that the Houston Texans are supposedly not interested in, is visiting the New Orleans Saints. We'll see if he ends up signing with New Orleans.
I was hopeful the Texans were going to bring him in, but I did find when DJ was on with us yesterday, and he was really pushing that the Texans believe they're good at the safety room. I guess I just don't see what they're seeing. I'm not at training camp. I know you are, but like I just look at the names on paper, and when I hear someone trying to talk up Eric Murray, I'm like, all right, good luck getting torched on Christmas and 4 days before that by Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Oh, and the week before that when you play Tua.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you can go into the season and be like, yeah, Eric Murray is a solution.
Eric Murray is a serviceable special teams player, but you need more than that as your safety. And would you look at that? The Astros almost grounded into a double play with the bases loaded. But guess what? Jeremy Peña keeps on hustling.
Hustling.
And he was not out at first base. I think that's like three times in the last two games that Jeremy Peña running on a double play has led to the Astros eventually scoring a run in a very unimpressive manner.
I can't explain it, but he just seems faster this season.
Oh, yeah. He's so fast.
Like, he's just moving. He's
Jeremy Peña hustled down the first baseline in the battle for the silver bullet to give the Astros a 1-0 lead today. Continuing to go around the NFL as we are 29 days away. A ex-Texans watch, Jadeveon Clowney, is, quote, ruining things at Panthers practice.
Like he's standing in front of Bryce Young so he can't see over the line of scrimmage?
I mean, Clowney is a very large man, and I could totally see how someone like Jadeveon Clowney, with that Panthers raggedy offensive line and not a lot of weapons for Bryce Young to work with, and as Joe said, he is a short person. Joe George has taken shots at a short guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally see Jadeveon Clowney ruining Panthers practice.
I forgot that Clowney was on the Panthers. To be honest, when you said his name, I thought it was going to be like he's signing somewhere. I forgot he's choosing to ruin and end his career in Carolina.
Hey, it's a homecoming.
Yeah, I get it. But don't you want to win football games?
He's the start of something special, maybe.
They're going to win like two football games this year, maybe three.
It is strange because last year he played very well.
Yeah, he was good for Baltimore.
He plays well pretty consistently. Like when you put it in the context of he's signing a one-year deal with a contender, like, he's always solid.
He would have made sense here. Honestly, like, before they went and got Autry and Hunter and all those guys, like, he could have been a guy that you could have made a very good argument that could have been a Houston Texan again. And instead he went to Carolina.
The problem is the work ethic side of things in practice for a young team. He is one of those guys that has always frustrated coaches, but as you said, he has also always played well. Not great, but a lot of people called him a bust. I used to get very annoyed by that. People that played football and who should know better calling him a bust. He was always one of the best run defenders in the NFL. Always. And he was above average to good as a pass rusher.
Yeah, he just didn't have the big sack numbers. Like, a bust is Jamarcus Russell. Johnny Manziel. Like, those are busts.
People that don't care, don't try, and honestly should are an absolute disgrace to the sport because they didn't appreciate the opportunity that they had.
Yeah, Clowney has made millions and millions of dollars. Yes, he never got a long-term contract. Part of that is the way it ended here with Bill O'Brien and the disaster that was. But he's been a very good player. Did he live up to the hype of number one? No. Was he Aaron Donald? No. Trying to have revisionist history that you wanted to take, like, the shortest defensive tackle in the history of the NFL draft as the first pick for the Houston Texans, you're a liar.
Like, yeah.
Khalil Mack, maybe. Aaron Donald, no.
He's pick 14, you know? Yes. There were other teams that passed on him as well.
That is the most, like, hey, we were there. No one, even like Khalil Mack going 4 or 5. Like, no one was like, you know who I really like? The Buffalo defensive end over Jadeveon Sanders or Jadeveon Clown. Well,
yeah. I think of Jatavion, huh?
Yeah, I was. Both Carolina Panthers.
Hey, took him in my fantasy football league yesterday.
There we go.
Jadeveon Sanders.
There we go.
Team Joe.
Everyone, deep sleeper.
Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I want to hear more about your fantasy.
No, the phone line's about
that's
to light
all,
up.
That's all I was going to say. That's all I was saying. Just because Sean brought him up. Sean's fault.
Accidentally, probably.
You can be good at fantasy football and tell nobody.
I didn't say I was good at it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you're trying to trade Framber Valdez at the trade deadline. Bazinga! Got him!
Guess what?
Pew, 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 pew!
GM Joe, not going to make the playoffs in either of my fantasy baseball leagues, so maybe you're right.
GM Nick Caserio traded Deshaun Watson for a lot of draft picks, and Deshaun Watson, who we've said this week is the 23rd ranked quarterback in Madden behind Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith and Derek Carr and Russell Wilson. He is throwing every day in practice this week, but he had a really bad practice yesterday. Here's some details from Daryl Reuter. Deshaun Watson flipped the ball on the sideline after having to scramble. On the next play, he kicked it after being sacked. He is not having a good day. Even his 50-yard touchdown throw to Cedric Tillman, Tillman slammed on the brakes inside the 10 to wait for the ball to arrive. Uh-oh.
Not good.
Man. I mean, you hate to see it. Wink.
Any chance he gets benched this year?
Well, I don't know who the backup is off the top of my head. It's Joe Flacco's not there.
James Winston. Yeah.
I want that to happen so bad.
Like,
Jameis is fun.
And, like, Deshaun Watson, pouty press conference after he gets benched would be awesome. I would enjoy that.
Dave Mulligetta really, really, really saved his bacon with that contract.
This is what I think, honestly, is going to happen this year. He's not going to play well, and then Mulligetta and Deshaun are going to go out on a Browns attack, and they're going to demand a trade and say it's all Kevin Stefanski's fault. And they're going to try to flip the narrative this year. And they'll fail, but... I think they're going to try to flip it on the Browns.
The Browns just gave extensions to Stefanski and Andrew Berry in spite of Deshaun Watson being complete ass.
Because they didn't make the trade. Their owner did.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll give the owner credit for not having them, I guess, in the crosshairs for how bad this has been. But I'm guessing they assume that Watson will eventually look like Deshaun Watson again. But practice is looking like the very same Deshaun Watson that we saw last year. Whatever happened to his shoulder is a major problem.
Yeah, it's so funny because they've been, on paper, successful. Like, this Kevin Stefanski era has been good for the Browns.
Really good.
It's just that the biggest move that they made has been such a colossal failure.
I was totally out on Kevin Stefanski, and I give him a lot of credit for the way that the Browns came together last year. That was a hell of a job. I thought he should have been fired going into last year. I was wrong on that one.
I mean, he made the playoffs with four. I'm with you, too. Like, I thought he was going to be on the hot seat, but to make the playoffs when you have four different starting quarterbacks.
Was it five or four? Whatever it was.
Yeah, four or five. Yeah. It's
you lost count.
Yeah, it's who else accomplishes that? Very few people.
Very few. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Texans Steelers Friday. What did we see at practice today? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. But how are you feeling about the offensive line right now? We'll talk about that. Stick around.
You want to talk about our friends at O Athletic? Check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. I was there this morning getting a workout in, hit some time on the treadmill, walking on an incline just like Paul does. I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. Try and get healthy in 2024. We're on our way. And you know what? You can be on your way, too. There's over 100 classes per week that you can take. There's personal trainers that will work around your schedule to make it easier for you, or you just work out by yourself, whether it's the free weights or the machines. It's all there for you. There's a bunch of cool stuff you can do with these classes. They have Brazilian jiu-jitsu and boxing classes, agility training. So whatever you're looking for, you know, you can find. They also, one of the cool things they do too is they work with kids as well. So you can talk with them and find out how you can help get your son, your daughter in shape for football season or whatever they're working on. They do stuff with the Dynamo as well, some camps. So a bunch of cool stuff you can do at OU Athletic. Check them out, OUathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Texans, Steelers, Friday.
Friday.
Preseason game number two, which will feature some starters, but not many starters. Not going to lie, I would much rather the Texans have joint practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers as opposed to playing a preseason game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Texans only have a handful of joint practices against the Rams. In fact, it might even be just one joint practice against the Rams. I feel like joint practices are a much better way, Joe, to gauge where your team is at, to get the absolute best level of competition out of your best players when they're out there. And honestly, I feel like it would be more entertaining to watch than a preseason game if I were a fan. If I have to pay top dollar to go to a preseason game, I would much rather see joint practices because I feel like I'm going to see the starters more. I feel like because of the way that they set things up where the offense gets to keep going and going even after a turnover or a three and out or something like that, I feel like that also makes it a much more watchable experience. Alas, we're stuck with the preseason because the NFL owners are greedy bastards and want you to pay top dollar for a game that doesn't count that no one cares about.
Yeah, I actually think it would be way cooler for when they go to two preseason games, just no starters are allowed to play. Or very minimally play in the preseason games. Make that for the guys trying to make the roster. And then just have practices all week against those two teams. So if you're playing the Steelers in one of your preseason games, do the practices. And to what you said, like find a way to televise it. Whether it's after the fact and it's like the Hard Knocks style. Or it's just, you know, through the Houston Texans website. And it's just on there and you're just watching that. I'd way rather watch that. And the starters playing that. The guys trying to make the roster play in the two games, and that's all we need. And I still, we only need two quarters of those games. We're just cutting on preseason left and right.
Yeah, football's back. That's great. We will watch the Hard Knocks since there's no Astros game tonight. Obviously, there's one going on right now. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow, but it's the absolute biggest tease in sports, preseason football, because the helmets are the same, the uniforms are the same, but the players are not the same, and the actual game itself where no one actually cares about winning or losing is also not the same.
Well, and at least the way it used to be was, it was almost always the same formula. Starters play a series in the game in the first game. They play 3 to 4 series in game two. In the third game, they'll play almost the entire first half, and then they would all take off the fourth game of the preseason, but they've just completely gone away with it now. I mean, I think Kyler Murray, they said, like, we will not see him this preseason. I think the Cardinals said, like, there are just guys that we won't see this year. And it used to only be the Tom Brady's, Peyton Manning's of the world would play.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head when it became something where you never saw them at all. Because you always used to see them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I always think back to, like, the, because it reminds me of the Madden curse, but, like, the Michael Vick year. Where Ray Lewis broke his leg in a preseason game. Like, you would want to avoid that at all costs. DeZenzo!
DeZenzo just had a double, and the Rangers left fielder, ball bounced out of his glove, and then he slid face first into the wall.
Family's excited.
Family is excited.
I don't know when it changed. Probably, I guess it's within, like, the last 5 years.
I feel the first time that I remembered a player sitting out a preseason game is because 3 years later, people were dogging me for the tweet because I sarcastically said J.J. Watt not playing in preseason game number three while I was stuck covering the Sugarland Space Cowboys game with Roger Clemens on the mound, wanting to blow my brains out.
That's tough.
Excuse me, it was the Sugarland Skeeters at the time. No offense, Sugarland Skeeters, but like I wanted to cover the Texans.
Yeah.
At that day, and I was there, and it was like Roger Clemens like celebration night, and I was like, this is not a real sport. This is allowing a guy who we all love in Roger Clemens to pitch again. And then there was a moment in the game where everyone held up a red Solo cup because Toby Keith was there and their boys. And I was like, okay, this is such a ridiculous thing. And me being bitter,
have a good time.
No, I didn't have a good time. And then I tweeted out in the middle of that, because I saw that JJ Watt wasn't going to play in that game. It was a preseason game against the Saints. I said, JJ Watt not playing in the game tonight, bust. Clearly being sarcastic. 3 years later, a bunch of Texans fans found it and said, like, look at this dip bleep. I deleted the tweet because I was so sick of people like not understanding that a tweet in August about JJ being a bust in 2013 after he had the year that he had in 2012. I'm too impatient to explain to everybody I was being sarcastic, so I just deleted it. So that was me, Joe, essentially apologizing for a take that I had, and that's why you never apologize.
In your defense,
like Freddie Fromber Valdez,
they weren't even a AAA team at the time, so they were an independent baseball.
Right, exactly. So, thank you.
I will defend
that makes me feel
you
better.
Extra.
That makes me feel better.
It's not like you're watching future Astros players. You're watching guys who literally were never going to play in the big.
I was watching Roger Clemens pave the way for Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
To pitch for the Sugarland Skeeters.
I think if they were an independent team, we actually might be able to just get you on a mound for an inning.
No. That would have been disastrous.
We could have coached.
Like, we could get you in the outfield, taking swings in a game.
All of it would have been bad. I know enough. If I were in a movie about baseball, I know enough to look like I know how to play baseball, but I'm so bad at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a movie, I would look better than every single actor trying to play baseball, which is to say, not much.
You know how to throw a baseball and swing a bat.
I watched far too many scenes on Netflix. It popped up at my recommended. The Flash popped up, which I haven't seen. And watching Ezra Miller run made me want to strangle somebody.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks unathletic.
He looks unathletic, and the CGI is just the entire movie.
That movie sucks. I've never been so disappointed in it.
I've been more disappointed in movies.
Yeah, I had low expectations.
He's like, it's my favorite superhero. So like, I was so bummed.
Oh. Why is he your favorite?
I don't know. It's just the comic
snarky.
It's like the comic book I just like read the most. Like him and Spider-Man were like always
interesting.
The Flash and Spider-Man were my top two.
Wow.
And there's been 9 Spider-Man movies, and there's been 1 Flash movie. It was terrible.
It sucks. And the guy's a criminal.
Yeah. Scumbag.
Yeah, and they were trying to, I mean, much like we're seeing now with a certain presidential candidate, everyone all of a sudden, like right before the movie came out, oh yeah, I mean, he's so good in this movie, though. Like, you can't not make the movie.
The PR spin was tough.
Yeah, it was like, what, did you see what he did?
Yeah.
There's like 6 headlines this week. They all involve assault. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Oh, he's got mental issues. Yeah, no way. Put him in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Bring back 1950s mental mental health care, okay? For him, not for everybody. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. Astros looking to win the silver boot. Looks like they are getting to Rangers pitching early, though they are only up 1-0 at this moment in time. That's on the table, and we tell you, what Dana Brown said today and whether or not we agree with him as we take a look at the Astros getting closer and closer to the end of the road. Stick around.